This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
My guest, of course, is Dr. Tim Markey, local government expert. We're continuing the conversation around the one we would have had between 9 and 9:30. The two-day local government summit started today at the Birchwood Conference, and I saw Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma there opening the conference and, of course, her speech there today. It was at the Birchwood Conference Centre in Boxwood as government efforts to strengthen capacity for an ethical and developmental state. Among the delegates, including senior government leaders across all spheres of government, as well as legislators, was Gauteng local government, the MEC Lebogang Maile, and of course the minister was there too. Now, of course, we are joined by Dr. Tim Markey, who is a local government expert. Dr. Tim Markey, welcome to Power 98.7. Welcome to Power Perspective. Sir, how are you?
I'm good, Denzel, and how are you? And good evening to your listeners as well.
Are you in a better shape than local government finds itself, bro? or is that?
I think all of us, we should be worried about the state of local government in the country. So we can't be forthright happy with everything that is happening because it's quite stressful.
And local government is where we live, right?
And of course, that is at the coal face of service delivery. So everything happens within a space.
Absolutely,
and that space is where you find communities.
Yeah. And I'm glad you've you know just cemented it like that. Let me ask you something, Tim, and I hope you don't mind if I just call you Tim. I mean,
that's okay, then.
Sure,
okay.
Tim, let me put it to you this way. So we have day one of the 2022 local government summit. And it comes on the back of, and if I remember quite well, 2 weeks ago, there was another conference or summit where public representatives were signing pledges, you know, about being good public servants. And there was this whole, you know, thing around that particular aspect as well. So I look at it in that particular light as well, that it's not a summit in isolation. But I do want to make it a summit in isolation, in essence, because we kind of have it every year. And we have these conversations every year. And I can remember, you know, for 100 years back when I was a journalist, and that will tell you how old I am, when I was still a young journalist, and then I became, you know, an editor, and I used to run newsrooms and send journalists out into the space. And I do that still. Here's the thing, is this thing popped up every single year. So for the last couple of years, since about 1994, this thing around local government, the summit and how we engage it has popped up on our radar basically every single year. And every single year, Doctor, I have heard basically the same noises, the same voices. The people might have changed. There's a whole new minister sometimes. There are, you know, some of the officials that are there. There's representatives from all spheres of government. Even, you know, traditional leaders find a gap to make an input. I want to ask you really seriously, how serious do we or must we take it when government comes to us again to put something like this in front of us and say, here we are to talk about local government again. Every single year we do it. These are the issues we want to look at. These are solutions that we want to also engage with. This is the state of local government elections. They're not good, but we're trying to get them there. We want to talk about vibrant local economies. We also want to talk about local government economies. So. You know, at some point, you yourself too must go and say, "I've seen this train before, and I'm not getting onto it." When do you get to that point?
So thanks, Denzel, for that question, and I want us to be very sincere and be forthright to the listeners and to society in general. What you have just said summarizes exactly some of the conversations that we have had over a number of months and years, even still on the very same platform And I want to echo the same things that we have been saying, and that's exactly to try and answer what you're saying.
Mm.
It is true. Every time there's been meetings, summits, as you would have seen, I've had the privilege to go through the minister's opening address.
Mm.
And quite frankly, she makes reference to a number of those previous summits that were held.
Mm.
The 2014 local government summits, to give a point in case.
Mm, mm.
The issues that are being addressed in the summit that is taking place at Beechwood are not new.
Mm.
They were discussed in 2014. But let me bring you into the equation. These things were not only discussed in the summit. These things have influenced the pieces of legislation that regulates local government, which tells you that prior a developmental local government, we had an opportunity to make a reflection on these issues.
Mm.
It is for that reason we were able to say what kind of systems do we need to have an ideal local government. This is not a discussion that is starting today.
Mm.
It is the discussion that has influenced and informed the deliberations of what kind of a municipality do we want to see in the country. And I must also emphasize, Tenzio, that it is not a matter of choice. The Constitution requires us to have a developmental local government.
Yes.
That's why all the policy frameworks, all the legislative framework are taking tune from what the Constitution has directed us to do.
Mm.
Remember, if you just to give you an example, if you read Section 152 of the Constitution, it talks about the objects of local government. And that is the key. It tells you of why do we need this institution called municipalities.
Mm.
And one of those is that we need to be able to provide sustainable basic services.
Mm.
Now, I want to stay there for a while.
Mm, mm, mm.
Since the dawn of the Constitution, since the dawn of the new of the developmental local government since 2000, did we ever pause and ask ourselves, how far are we from achieving sustainability of basic services in municipalities, in communities?
Mm. And I think the catchword is sustainable.
Yeah. And what we're getting to see, we're not seeing sustainability.
Mm.
In actual fact, even the president himself has acknowledged in the very same summit that you're referring to, which was held 2 weeks ago, where he said the state of local government is worrisome.
Mm, mm, mm.
But it is one thing to acknowledge that it is worrisome, but to also see to it that how we conduct ourselves begins to acknowledge the fact that we need to move. Because the summit today, it's addressing almost the same issues that were addressed in a meeting that was held 2 weeks ago. But not only that meeting, Denzel.
Mm.
After that meeting, there was an NCOP meeting as well.
Mm.
It was addressing the same issues. Today, you've got the local government summit. It is addressing the same issues.
Mm.
Now, let's pause and ask ourselves, is there any implementation of all these things that have been discussed in these various conventions or summits or meetings? Because on an average, I can tell you that it tells you that for the past 3 weeks, these key leaders in local government have not been hard at work. Because one, they had to travel to those
meetings. Yes, I immediately saw the point you're going to make.
No, I'm trying to show you
absolutely
that what you are raising. It's things that we need to be honest and sincere.
Mm.
Because if you're not going to talk about them, we'll continue to get the same results.
Mm.
We'll continue to lament about the state of service deliveries in communities.
Mm.
Today we have got a key point in case, ESCOM. We are struggling to keep the lights on. And fundamental to the whole thing is the question of maintenance.
Mm.
So you should never think that this is immune from local government.
Mm.
The state of infrastructure in local government, it's pointing to the same direction that ESCOM is taking.
Mm.
And it's a matter of time. We'll wake up and come to realize that we completely will not be able to provide services to communities.
Absolutely.
And the question is, do we need summits to be able to remind officials what to do? Do we need summits to be able to remind those elected representatives to go and play their oversight role in an effective and efficient way. Mm. And I sincerely doubt as to whether are the meetings part of the mechanism to give us answers to what we're supposed to do.
Mm.
Primarily because the systems are there. All what we need is to make sure that we implement the systems correctly.
Mm. And here's the thing, you know, if you were somebody who was interested in local government, you just need to go to the Auditor General's report, and it dissects it for you. It tells you in detail which municipality is struggling and how they're struggling, and what's going on in those particular areas. You don't need a broad brush summit to do that. So then, every single year, and I don't want to hammer this point as well, is that the Auditor General, maybe twice a year, maybe, you know, once a year, will come to us and begin to tell us what local government looks like. And then, I listened to Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma today. And amongst the things that she talks about the building blocks that you need to get to, the roadmap towards an ideal local government. Now, we're talking about, and I particularly wrote down the terminology she used. She said we need to talk about the state of local government, the challenges and the opportunities. That's really broad. That doesn't even tell me that we're going to be dealing with local government issues in real, real terms. Then, of course, the terminology goes and says, what is the roadmap towards an ideal local government? The kind of talking, the kind of language you also use there, and they're using it a lot, the ideal local government. So they're looking at a roadmap. So, and you've raised 2014. When do we begin to get to a point where we can say, doctor, you know what, the roadmap, the blueprint is this. We're going to abide by it. It's going to cost so much. It's going to have legs of this kind, and it's going to take so long to do. When do we do it? Or is it the excuse, and I have to put it to you this way, is it the excuse that a government in charge will constantly do and recycle? Every time there is a new minister, it's as though we talk from that particular point. That particular minister speaks to that particular reference point, and never before and before and before. And they get away with it, and we allow them to get away with it.
You see, that's a very good point, Denzel. Hence, I was saying, if we take a look at where we come from, you then agree with me that every time we seem to start from scratch, and you ask yourself the question, what has happened to the data that was collected with an intention to make local government work better?
Because there is data.
No, that's an abundance of data.
Yes.
That's an abundance of programs that government has implemented. But the weakness is that there's always no follow-through. And why are we not having a follow-through, Denzel? One of the critical aspects that I need to flag is that for as long as you're going to have a council that is only there for 5 years, and the next 5 years you have got a complete new set of councillors, immediately you have lost institutional memory. The second thing, you have the top management of the municipality for 5 years. Some do not even complete the 5 years. You always get new people. We are completely and gradually losing institutional memory. And that is the reason why all the time we will find ourselves starting from scratch.
It's that word you used, and I have to say it's sustainability, because then nothing is sustainable.
Exactly. So that is the reason why we shouldn't be surprised when we see these things happening. I'll give you an example. The MFMA, Section 71 and 72, requires municipalities to submit monthly reports, right? And the minister has to publish the financial report of municipalities on quarterly basis. Now, what is the use of a report? A report is there to assist you to be able to identify where you are, where you're supposed to be, and what are the gaps, and you start dealing with those gaps, which tells you that we are not taking serious those reports that we are preparing and that we are submitting.
Mm.
And I think like one of your listeners who were saying that we need to start thinking the other way around. And one thing which is certain, for as long as we don't have time to read these reports, I can tell you, the Auditor General can come and tell us the same things year in, year out.
Mm.
For as long as we don't internalize what the Auditor General is saying, when the Auditor General has finished reporting, then it's business as usual.
Mm.
But also to caution Denzel, to say, we should not fool ourselves and think that if a municipality or a government department gets an unqualified audit opinion, that is an assurance for the fact that they are effective in what they are doing.
Mm.
It does not give that assurance.
Mm.
It only gives you the assurance that this institution is a going concern. It means that by tomorrow they will still be there.
Mm.
It gives you the assurance that at least there is an element of good governance that is taking place there. But it cannot tell you that there is impact.
Mm.
And hence, you see, you have got the city of Mangaung. I'll give the example with the city of Mangaung.
Yeah.
They've got an unqualified audit opinion.
Yeah.
But they've been regarded as one of the dysfunctional municipalities in the country.
Mm.
So which begins to tell you that the audit outcomes should not be used to say there is impact. Because there are so many municipalities who get unqualified audit opinion, but you have got the services that are collapsing. The only thing that the Auditor General is doing there is just to say, you guys are able to account for the money that you've been given.
Mm.
But it doesn't say the money that you've been given and how you've used it.
Mm.
It gives us the insurance that there's an impact.
Yeah, the people actually got services.
The people are actually getting the services.
Yeah.
So that's where we need to be saying, what is it that we need to do to try and make sure that we turn local government around? Because first and foremost, Denzel, I need to tell you that as long as we don't accept that local government is faced with three key fundamental challenges, that is provision of basic services, that is issues around good governance, which include financial management, human resource management, all of those aspects that you may want to talk about.
Sure.
I don't want to go to a shopping list of what the challenges are, but these two are the ones that will even assist to unlock the local economic development that the minister was referring to. Because for municipalities to have a thriving economy, Denzel, all what they need to do is to give you as an investor an assurance that you will have access to bulk water, you will have access to bulk electricity.
And quality.
You will have quality for that matter. Mm. And also that the road infrastructure will be so conducive that you will not have a high input cost when it comes to your repairs and maintenance of your fleet.
Mm.
If they can do all of those things, then you'll be able to attract investors in your area.
Sure.
It is not for them to go and look for investors. All what they need to do is to create that conducive environment for local economic development to take place. Now, you and I would know that for as long as you have communities that do not have access to basic services, obviously it tells you that it becomes very difficult for some municipalities to give assurance to potential investors that they will be able to provide them with bulk services of good quality so that they can be able to invest in their areas. Those are the basic things that...
These are the building blocks that the minister was saying we need to look at.
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying that we have been talking about these things for over 22 years.
Mm.
And some of these things are, you'll find them in the IDPs of municipalities. Because the strategic tool that municipalities are using to turn the situation around, to be strategic, is the IDPs.
Mm.
Now, the question that we should be asking is that, are these IDPs really talking the truth about the city of Johannesburg, as an example? Are we having the appropriate tools to implement that IDP? Do we have enough resources to be able to make sure that whatever dream that we have there, it's funded? And that brings me to the next point that the minister was talking about. to say we need to relook at the funding model of local government.
Mm, I saw that too.
Denzel, it is not coming for the first time.
Yes, no, it's a conversation that's been held for years.
That's why I'm saying that until we get to move away from this understanding that says that when we have challenges, we must converge together into a summit and then start talking about what we're supposed to do.
Dr. Temmermarket,
start by us implementing those systems that we have back in our municipalities, so that when we convert, we say, in municipality A, this system has worked and we can all see that it's working.
Yeah.
Then be able to ask municipality B, why are your systems not working? Not even doing that at a summit, but having to hold them accountable where they are.
Mm. That conversation about relooking the financial model, and there's national government, there's provincial government, there's municipalities, and that's how the revenue, the taxes, get split up. So I'm not sure if I'm 100% with the numbers, but something I would have heard today would have gone: national government gets 45%, provincial government gets 44%, municipalities get 9%, and that's 257 municipalities. I'm not sure if that would stand up, but that's the kind of, you know, conversation I was listening to. Here's my question: when we get to rethinking the funding model. And it's something that is peculiar maybe to myself and how I would experience, you know, the 30 years of this democratic state, is that something, when it's not working the way it should work, the way actually it should work, what begins to happen is we lower the bar and we begin to find an alternative method for it to work. And that alternative method is normally downscaling, taking responsibilities away from those who should be. Because municipalities should be held accountable for all the things that they need to be held accountable. Need to, you know, corruption, those services, that local economy and creating those local economic, you know, environments. So when they don't, national government steps in and says, instead of trying to fix that, let's take it away from them and relook a model. Isn't that the wrong way to look at something? Because ultimately, you haven't dealt with the crisis in the first place.
That is the reason why you'll forever get the same results.
Mm.
Because you're just recycling a problem.
Mm.
You are not dealing with the fundamental issues of the problem.
Mm.
You're not saying, let me look at what are the underlying factors.
Mm. In fact, you're not fixing it at all.
Yeah, no. And for as long as we run away from that particular approach, we will forever be doing exactly what you're saying. We will put municipalities under Section 139. But does it provide an answer or solution to the problems? And I'm saying no. Because in all instances where municipalities were placed under Section 139, we don't have a single municipality which was turned around where we can go and say, this municipality was down and out, but look at where it is today. Now, those are the things that we need to be saying, that whatever we are doing, we are not addressing the core issue. We are just hitting the top surface of the problem. And here is one of the things that we need to be asking ourselves. Okay, one, we know that there are laws that regulate local government. And one of those is the one that says the municipal council must appoint the municipal manager and the senior managers accountable to the municipal manager. Now, that's where you begin to mess up the issue of accountability. Because if you are appointing me as a municipal manager, but you go and appoint people who must account to me, you are not enabling me to say, look, chief, this is what we want from you, so that I can go and look for the team of players who would be able to play an effective role. And that's where you begin to ask yourself, is the problem the skills, the competencies in local government, or is the problem the systems? And I can tell you, it is not the systems. It is the tools that have been used to implement the system. We need to fix the tools that are used to implement the system. Equally important, even at a governance level, You have got some counselors who cannot read it. I'm sorry if it sounds very too hard and strong, but that's a reality, and I think it has been confirmed by various statistics that was conducted in local government.
True story. So,
yeah, and you expect these people to be able to read, critically analyze reports that have been given to them.
Mm.
And majority of these reports contain
and not only that, Doctor. And not only that, Doctor, apart from the reading and analyzing that perspective, but also then to go further and begin to be able then to begin to work out solutions and problem solving for the person on the ground. So if you couldn't get through stage read and you couldn't get through stage analyze what you read, the poor community is going to be in the dark, if I have to use an ESCOM terminology.
Well, that's correct. That's why there will always be an outcry from the Auditor General to say there's no consequence management.
Mm.
How would you implement consequence management when you sit, when you have got a document in front of you,
you cannot
create a better understanding for you to be able to ask the right questions? Because the moment you start to ask the right questions, you will arrive at the right answers that will enable you to say, this is what we are now going to do to solve the problem.
Mm.
So reading is the main thing. That's where it starts.
Mm.
If you don't have that ability, then we will say then the analytical mind will not be existence. And if the analytical mind is not going to be existing, the leadership role is going to be compromised.
Sure. Doctor, let
and
me
that
ask
is the reason why. That's the reason why communities will always be crying to say that we don't know what is occurring in municipalities and so on and so on.
Mm. Doctor, let me ask you in about a minute and a half. It's 10 o'clock, but I'm going to ask you the question. What questions must this conference then answer? This particular conference, what questions must it answer?
Firstly, the summit must be able to firstly acknowledge that we have been talking about these things for many years.
Mm.
And we have not been honest in terms of what needs to be done. We know what we have done wrong.
Mm.
We need to go deep and fix that which we have done wrong. And one of those is the fact that we don't keep this leadership for a period of time for them to be able to carry on with the programs. But at the same time, we don't attract the people with the right skills to be able to implement what the systems have been put in place. So as long as we run away from that fact, the first part, that's where you and I come in. Come the time for local government elections, we get too excited. We go and vote. We're excited just to make sure that we remove those that were there, forgetting that we are destroying the institutional memory. Now, when it comes back to haunt us, we had forgotten that, by the way, we had a role to play. That's why local government has got an element of community participation. The second part is that those that come in, they come in and do not want to keep those they found in the system doing the same work in a good way. They want to bring those that they would be able to manage, so to speak. So you know, practices that are there in local government are the ones that are the biggest goal. If the summit could just say, do we have the right people at the right place? Yes or no? If we don't have, what is it that we must do when we leave the summit tomorrow? Two, the things that we have said we're going to do 10 years ago, did we do them? And if we didn't do them, who must be held accountable for not doing that which they were supposed to do 10 years ago? Then we'll be moving. But as long as there is no interest to hold people accountable at both the political and administrative level, we will still have the same summit taking place next year. It will still talk the same thing.
Dr. Tim Marke, thank you. Local government expert. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Thank you very much, Tenzin.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.